Government clarifies that late coming in schools is still punishable. Agri-expert calls on government to be practical on value addition, and African Union adopts resolution describing slavery and colonization as crimes against humanity. Good afternoon. With the lunchtime news at 13, I'm Angel Kasabo. The Ministry of Education has clarified the handling of learners who report late for school, stressing that while late coming remains a punishable offence, pupils must not be sent home as this disrupts their learning. Permanent Secretary for Educational Services Kelvin Mambwe said pupils who report late should still face disciplinary action, but such measures must not interfere with their right to education. Dr. Mambwe explained that sending pupils home contradicts the ministry's guidelines because it denies them valuable learning time. Late coming is recognized as an offense. It is disruptive and retrogressive. However, schools are expected to administer corrective and constructive disciplinary measures that promote reflection and personal growth without disrupting learners, said Dr. Mambo in a statement issued to RCV News in Lusaka today. He also reminded the school administrators that corporal punishment remains abolished and is strictly prohibited. Dr. Mambwe further called on parents and guardians to play an active role in ensuring that learners report to school on time, noting that discipline begins at home and that collaboration between families and schools is key to reinforcing punctuality and responsibility among learners. He said the ministry remains committed to upholding standards that prepare learners not only for academic excellence but also for responsible citizenship.
Late coming, therefore, is recognized as an offense and appropriate corrective measures are in place to address it. It is disruptive, retrogressive, and must not be tolerated. However, the ministry has long guided that disciplinary measures should never, I repeat, the ministry has long guided that disciplinary measures should never interfere with learning time. Sending learners home for any offense committed contravenes this directive, as it denies them an opportunity to learn. While late coming is punishable, schools must apply corrective measures that encourage reflection and learning from the offense committed.
The Department of Immigration on Sunday apprehended 349 people during a large-scale cleanup operation conducted across various parts of Lusaka with support from other security agencies. Immigration Public Relations Officer Namati Shinka says those picked up include 209 individuals claiming Zambian citizenship, 87 Burundians, 45 Congolese nationals, 3 Tanzanians, 3 persons of an unknown nationality, 1 Indian and 1 Ugandan. Mr. Shinka says following a comprehensive screening exercise, 212 people were released unconditionally. Among those released were 209 Zambians who proved their citizenship, said Mr. Shinka in a statement issued to RCV News in Lusaka today. He said 2 Burundians and 1 Congolese national were also released after producing valid documentation confirming their lawful stay in the country. Meanwhile, 27 women, 19 Burundians and 8 Congolese nationals were instructed to report to immigration headquarters on February 16 for further verification. Mr. Shinka said the remaining 110 individuals have been detained pending additional screening. He further said those still in custody include 64 Burundians, 34 Congolese nationals, 3 Tanzanians, 2 individuals whose nationalities are yet to be established, 1 Indian and 1 Ugandan. Mr. Shinka reiterated that while Zambia remains a welcoming nation, all foreign nationals are required to possess valid documentation and adhere to the conditions of their stay.
The Department of Immigration in Lusaka on 15th February 2026 apprehended 349 persons during a cleanup operation conducted in various parts of the city with the support of other security wings. Those apprehended were 209 persons claiming Zambian citizenship, 87 Burundians, 45 Congolese, 3 Tanzanians, 3 persons of unknown nationalities, 1 Indian and 1 Ugandan. Following a comprehensive screening exercise, 212 persons were released unconditionally. Among those released were 209 Zambians who proved their citizenship, as well as 2 Burundians and 1 Congolese national.
Agriculture expert Gilbert Banda has expressed concern over the slow pace at which the policy on value addition is being implemented in the agriculture sector. Mr. Banda says it is disappointing that many agricultural products continue to leave the country without undergoing any form of value addition. Speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka, Mr. Banda cited soya beans, maize meal, and mangoes as some of the products that are exported in raw form instead of being processed locally. There is need for government to be intentional about value addition by ensuring that every province is equipped with value addition machinery, said Mr. Banda. He added that it is unfair for government to consistently preach value addition without taking the lead in establishing the necessary infrastructure. Mr. Banda further stressed that strengthening value addition in the agriculture sector would enable farmers to earn more income from their produce and contribute meaningfully to the country's economic growth.
We should really be, you know, looking at enhancing and putting up policies that help us to really make it mainstay. And you cannot talk about mainstay without value addition, really, you know, talking about these value chain and ensuring that, you know, we really develop, whether it's a soya value chain, whether it's a maize value chain, all these, we need to develop them into value chain, you know, from market, from farm to...
A local car dealing firm says the improvement of the performance of the kwacha against international major convertible currencies is benefiting the vehicle purchasing public. Firm manager Lumono Mukwali said from the time the kwacha started appreciating against international currencies, such as the United States dollar, the firm effected a drop in the prices of their motor vehicles. Mr. Mukwali said the pricing structure of the firm's vehicles was proportionately matching the percentage at which the kwacha has been appreciating. It disclosed that the positive policies that have been implemented by government have improved the business environment. Mr. Mkwali was speaking in an interview with Zanis on the sidelines of the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, between ZV Cars and Entrepreneurs Financial Center. Meanwhile, Mr. Mkwali said the MOU was a partnership that will give the public an option of accessing car loans via the financial institution. And EFC Head of Personal Lending Chukwundi Piri said the partnership was for the benefit of small and medium-sized entrepreneurs. Ms. Piri said the financial institution and the car dealing firm were both SME-centric, which provides an opportunity for entrepreneurs to access financing at competitive rates. In Africa News, African Union leaders that met at a two-day summit in Addis Ababa have adopted a resolution that describes slavery, deportation, and colonialism as genocide and crimes against the people of Africa. Chairman Mohamed Ali Youssef also called for an end to what he called the extermination of the Palestinian people. Member states agreed to designate November 30 as the African Day of Tribute to Victims of the Transatlantic Slave Trade, Colonization and Apartheid. Coming up shortly, Israeli Prime Minister says Iran must abandon enriched uranium. This and more, stay tuned.
Cancer of the blood. Blood cancer is a widely used term for blood, bone marrow, and lymphatic cancer. Mostly, this cancer starts from the bone marrow. In this cancer, the development of blood cells gets disturbed by unrestrained growth of abnormal blood cells. There are no specific known causes of this malignancy, but some common symptoms include fevers, night sweating, enlarged lymph nodes, fatigue, and tiredness. Approximately one-third of all cancers diagnosed in children are blood cancer. A regular checkup can make all the difference. Remember, your health is your responsibility. Act now.
And now for the rest of the news. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the United States must require Iran to relinquish all of its enriched uranium and be barred from enriching more as part of any nuclear deal with Tehran. In a speech in Jerusalem on Sunday, he outlined several conditions he wanted, including that all enriched materials has to leave Iran and that there should be no enrichment capability. His comments come as Iranian and U.S. officials prepare for a second round of talks in Switzerland on Tuesday. Iran will consider compromises to reach a nuclear deal if the United States is willing to discuss lifting sanctions. That's the news to date. Here is another look at the headlines.